Good morning, everybody. So glad to see y'all here this morning. Matter of fact, I'm glad to wake up every morning. This morning, let me give you the title first. It's The Mystery of the Seed. The Mystery of the Seed. The idea of reaping what you sow is pretty simple, and most of us are familiar with it. But there are some deeper secrets about seeds that can make your faith blossom and grow in ways you can never imagine. Jesus speaks of a treasure. He calls the treasure the mystery of the kingdom. He says that this thing called the kingdom is an unusual treasure for which there ought to be nothing that gets in your way of discovering it. If you discover what I call the mystery of the seed, you will discover a secret, and this secret will transform your very existence. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse 4, a sower went out to sow some seed. And if you lived in Jesus' time, you would know what that looked like. You would know and understand what that would look like. They carried a like Linda's bag. He carried a strap alongside, and the strap was full of seed. And what he would do in the farmers, and what he's really talking about, and how can they can understand this parable, he would, just like this room, this is all garden space. Y'all are not here right now. This is just garden space. And he would go out and reach his hand in his bag, and he would scatter the seed all over the field that which he had prepared. And now y'all can get back in place, because y'all are going to come up in a little bit. And after he does that, seeds would go sometimes to go in the row, sometimes to be out of the row. They'll land anywhere, because they didn't have modern equipment like we have today. So today we have equipment that can pinpoint each little seed and each plant where it should go. But they didn't have that back then. And if he had a field, let's say, big as this whole building, he would strap two bags on his donkey. And go around, and as the donkey would walk, he would just grab a handful of seed and just throw it out, sow it. And that's how it was back in that time. And the seeds would fall in the road, some would fall outside the road. There'd be sometimes they'd fall almost anywhere. And that's the way it was back then in Jesus' day. And in verse 4, we read, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, Jesus, he spoke by way of parable. Verse 5, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. The seed is, let me tell you something. The seed is the same, but the soil is different. In verse 6, other seeds fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, what Jesus wanted them to know is that while the seed is the same, the place that it lands is different. He wants them to know that the success of the seed has nothing to do with the seed. The success of the seed has everything to do with where it lands. Now see, it landed on good seed, because I see y'all up again. Y'all have some pretty crop. When the sower sows a seed and it lands in different spots, it is the landing spot that determines whether there is a crop, not the seed. Many times people will think that, even though they don't say it, it says God's word doesn't work. I go to church, I hear the word every Sunday, I hear the word preached every Sunday, I hear the word taught every Sunday, and nothing is in their life, I said, nothing is different. Jesus wants you to know, he wants me to know, this parable, so that you and I, that if nothing is different in our lives, if nothing is changing in our lives, the problem is not the seed. Because the seed hasn't changed. The same seed is being sown. It is where the seed lands that determines what the seed does. If God's word is not working we got to check the ground that it landed on. If we check the ground that it landed on, that's the nature of the seed. It's the soil. And it's where the seed landed. The second half of verse 8 of the same chapter, he says, things that he would call out. Now, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Now, Jesus just didn't whisper this. Remember, he had grown a whole magnitude of people, a whole crowd, the Bible says. And evidently, he's saying that it's possible to have an ear and not hear. Matter of fact, we have two ears and can't hear. Evidently, you have two ears and you still can't hear. It is possible to be part of the crowd, to hear the same story, and still not know what is going on. Now, let's bring this up to date, what Jesus was saying. Because, see, remember, he had a big multitude, and he didn't just whisper, "He who has ears, let him hear." He shouted it out so they all could hear. If we were bringing up to date, it is possible to come to church, hear the sermon, and have heard nothing at all. Have you ever talked to somebody who could repeat what you just said, but you knew by listening at them, you knew that they weren't hearing anything? Why are you laughing? Husbands and wives deal with this all the time. The phrase that husbands hate to hear from their wives is, "We got to talk." She is talking and he is watching the game. He can repeat everything that he just heard. And you tell him what you just heard. He could repeat it verbatim. But she knew he wasn't listening. The crowd was there because they liked the teacher. They liked Jesus. And they liked his teaching. But they weren't hearing him, although they were in the place where he was talking. The disciples in verse 9 began questioning Jesus as to what the parable meant. Now, this is important. After they didn't even understand, but they stayed there and it says, I'm going to question him about this. The disciples said, "Now we heard you like everybody else heard you, but we are not getting it. We don't understand it. It sounds good. We like the story, but what are we supposed to do with this story? What does it mean to us?" When they raised a question of the parable, Jesus sent out something special. And that's in verse 10. He said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries," that means the secrets of the kingdom of God, "but to the rest it is parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, he is saying, there is a large crowd, I hear, but only a small group are going to get what I'm saying. I have got a crowd. They are going to like the story. They may even say amen to it. But they're not going to get it at all. He says, "But to you it has been granted to get in on the secret, that which is not available to the rest of them." You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 10, it tells the same story, but it gives us a little bit more information. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, "The disciples came to him and said, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" Verse 11, "Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Verse 12, "So whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecies. Now, they're saying that the prophecies, of reading that the prophecies in Isaiah were being brought to light. Isaiah 6 and 9, you didn't have to turn there, but I just threw this in because I found it, is being fulfilled. He says, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Simply put, they came broken, they come burdened down, they come hurt, they come struggling, but they do not get healed. But he says the reason that they don't get better is because they come with their ears but refuse to hear. They come with their eyes but refuse to see. They come with their hearts but refuse to perceive. It is because of the state in which they come that keeps me from fixing what is wrong, even though they show up for church. Some have been showing up for church for years. We have been coming to church since we were being made to come to church when we were kids, since we started to go as adults, and nothing is changing. The Word of God is not working. The sermons are not fixing anything. They're just good inspirational moments where I feel good. And the reason I understand this part so much, because years ago, when I first moved to Richmond, my father took me to church with him every Sunday. And I go to these various churches, and the preaching was tremendous. The crowd was good. The choirs were good. But when I left before I left out of the sanctuary to get to my walk, what I was walking or driving, I don't know what I was doing then, it was gone. I didn't get a thing. But he sure preached well. You say, you may like the story. You may like what you heard. You say, wasn't that a good sermon today? Didn't the word go forth? How many times have you heard people say that? Didn't the word go forth? And between there and the parking lot, everything had been taken away. For me, when I left the sanctuary to get to the outside door, it was gone. So I was a little bit ahead of everybody else. So you know I didn't get anything. You ever go to a restaurant and you order a sampler platter? Spellmans, don't raise your hand, I know. And you order a sampler platter. You get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, it's for sampling. Or maybe you have ordered an appetizer. And it's supposed to work like this. The appetizer is supposed to set you up for the full meal. But if you ate the appetizer and that is all you got full of it and that's all you want, and you feel that that's all you need, then that's all you're going to get. Hearing the Bible preached is an appetizer. Once you hear the sermon, no matter how much you liked it, how much you enjoyed it, all you get is an appetizer. The disciples said, we want the entree. What does all that mean? What do I do with what you just taught? In other words, they were not just satisfied with the sermon. They wanted more. And that's what God is blessing us as a church, because we want more. And how I know you want more? Because it started with the teachings in Bible study. We started off with just a few, but the seed was thrown out and it was sown. And because you wanted more, you were like those disciples. What does this mean? How can I live? How can I live? What are you talking about? And our Bible study began to grow. We have almost this amount in Bible studies on Thursdays. So let me know that when the seed went out, and that's why I say y'all are good plants coming up, because you wanted more. you wanted the entree. Most people are just satisfied with the sermon. No matter how great the sermon is, how long the sermon is, the best sermon in the world is only an appetizer. The crowd loved the appetizer. The disciples wanted a meal. They said, No, Jesus, we are not finished yet. You have finished preaching. You finished telling the story. Now explain it to us. What we are supposed to do with this thing we just heard you teach? What are we supposed to do with this thing you just heard us preach? You just heard you preach on? How are we supposed to grasp this thing? How are we supposed to use this? Churches are filled with people who are just showing up for the appetizer. Because some appetizers taste good, they're sweet. Some appetizers they can be enjoyable. Jesus said, to you it has been granted, talking about the disciples, to know the mysteries, the things that are not available to everyone. The mystery of the kingdom is not first and foremost salvation. You get to enter the kingdom through salvation, which is true. This is not what it's meant talking about here. It says, you disciples, it has been granted the mystery. The mystery is of those who follow Jesus Christ who are not satisfied with just being a part of a religious group. Who are not just satisfied to be a member of a church. The mysteries are given to those who want the entree. I want the entree. It's not the sermon. This is more than the sermon. Jesus has already told the story, but he only explained the meaning and its implications to a few. So that raising one final question, what is this seed principle? And it tells us in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, don't read this too fast, because you might, and when you read it, don't try not to blink, because you may miss something. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed. When the word of God comes to you, it comes only in seed form. When you get the word of God, you get the seed, not the tree. Now, the tree is in the seed, but all God gives you when he gives you his word is the seed. He gives you the seed in order for the seed to become a tree. The seed must be put in a situation where it could become a tree. You understand where I'm going? I don't care how much you love the word or how much you read the word. All you are getting is the seed, because the seed is the word of God. The seed is not the full-grown expression of the word. Even though all the ingredients of what it is ever going to do is in it, everything is in the seed. When you get the word of God, all you're getting is the seed. What happens is we come to church, we get the seed. But because the soil is not consistent with the seed, we just receive it for free of freedom of expression. And all is due, we're not getting all that is designed to do, to become. Because the soil isn't cooperating with the nature of the seed. Then the seed does not become what it was designed to become. Every plant, the fruit, you know, started with a seed. But it only develops because of the soil. Let me explain something. There is nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong at all. Because the seed is the word of God. And therefore the word of God is perfect. There is a damage or problem in the soil. So the question is, what's the soil? In James 1 and 21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Now I know we say, my soul got saved. I've heard that expression. My soul got saved. It did, but not quite the way you think. You were converted. On the day you were converted, your spirit is saved. According to 1 Peter 1:23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of seed of perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. By the seed of the word of God, your spirit got saved. Your soul is being saved." We have three parts. We have the body, we have the soul, and we have the spirit. The spirit is the God connection. The soul is that self-life. It is your personhood, and your body is your physical life. You and I were born with a damaged soul. Our body was alive, our soul was damaged. Matter of fact, we said we were born in sin. That is what happens when we were born. We were born in sin. And the sins we commit messes us up. The people that hang around us sometimes messes us up. The environment that we live in sometimes messes us up. All things are created and it has something to do with messing up the soul. And we spend most of our time trying to fix our own souls. It is hard for something that is already broken to fix itself. So what we settle for is soul management, not soul transformation. The soul is damaged and the body is listening to the soul. So the soul is messed up and it tells the body, and our body, do you know our body is stupid and dumb enough to do what our messed up soul is telling it to do? The soul is messed up. So when you were saved, you got a seed. The seed was in your spirit. The goal to spiritual transformation is for the spirit to enter into the soul and the soul to re-instruct the body. So if the body is going to be different, it's because the soul is talking different, because it has influence of your spirit now. And the soul is going to talk different because it is now being influenced by a seed that is growing. Receive the word that has been implanted in you. If you are a believer, it is already there. Because James says, "I am talking to the believer." You know, that's when he says, "my brethren." Before that, he said, "be quick to hear, slow to speak." And then he says, "slow to anger." Be quick what? Slow to say what? And what is making me so angry? Be quick to hear the God's point of view. Be slow to go back to your own point of view. And don't get mad when the two disagree. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit." In other words, the word of God is alive. Like that seed, it's alive. You don't see the tree, plant, fruit. You don't see any of that, but it's all in there. It's in the seed. When that seed matures, it becomes whatever it was supposed to become based on the soil that the seed landed on. It is alive. We won't see that seed grow. It is because of the soil. If we don't see anything happens, if nothing changes in our lives, it's not the seed. It's where the seed landed. Amen. If God's word is not working in me, and if God's word is not working in you, it is not the word that is the problem. Because the word is alive. The seed is alive. It just hasn't been planted in the right spot yet. So that's what I'm telling you. What God wants to know as we move from this place, as he is raising us and moving us on. And I think really because that we are getting there, and God, and since we are God's special people, he's looking at us specially because we have a heart toward him. We have a heart for him. And he is telling us that when you come, continue what you're doing. When you come, let that seed, don't be satisfied with just hearing something that itching ears and hearing a sermon that make you jump for joy at that time. There's nothing wrong with hearing that word, but he wants you to do more than that. That is only a seed that he's giving you for a deeper understanding, the deeper mysteries of what he wants to accomplish in our lives, in your life, in my life. So just be obedient to what you're hearing. You know, so I always said when I come to church, and I always come to church, I want to learn something because I don't know. I don't know anything. I know a little bit, but based on what God's word and the mysteries of God's word has to tell me, I know nothing. I'm just as stupid as a rock. But when you come with the idea, I want to hear something that's going to better my life, enlighten my life. I don't care how it sounds. I don't care how plain it sounds. But I'm going to hear something and I'm going to learn something for it. Because I'm always, you know, it's because of this principle that got us started in learning the spiritual things of God in the first place. I know when we were in the Baptist church, we were there for in Bible study. And we were, Sunday school. And we, for a long time, didn't go to Sunday school, and Linda's uncle, bless his heart, he's going to be with the Lord now. He's gone now. But he got us interested. He came and asked Antoine and Eric, could he take them to Sunday school? So by sending them, and we send our kids to Sunday school, and we go to the church. So Linda and I said, you know, we decided to go to Sunday school. And we were learning so much because the Sunday school teacher, we heard what she was saying. It was, and we all of us had to have a question. She gave everybody a question. We had to come back the next week, and we had to answer the question that she has given us. And we would sit up in the bed. We would receive our question. Her, she had one question that's different. I had one. And we would sit up in there reading the Bible, sitting in the bed. We stood up late one night, reading, not even paying attention to the question, but reading, searching answers for the question that was given. It was so much more that we had no idea was in it. So much was available to us. We were just learning. So that's the principle. The Lord wants to keep that principle going. The word is just a seed. The teaching was just a seed. We have to ask. It got to be more. We had to go push and search for more. So much so that we went to church that next Sunday, and none of us had answered the question because we got a lot of good information. The stuff that we weren't taught, we didn't know was in there. But that's how God's word, and that's what got us started, really, in reading the word of God and how good and wonderful that word was. When God gives you that imperishable seed, Lord, and he shows, begin to show us the mysteries, we call it the little nuggets that of elements that he had to show us. You ever read a scripture and you say, oh, man, I didn't know that. You ever heard something say, oh, man, he put it away. I didn't. And you make you go back and read it and say, man, this is really true. This is good. I can apply this to my life. It's working in my life. But see, God, when you go and looking for church and just looking for something that's going to make you feel good, you come because of the choir. You come because of the playing. You come because you may like the preacher. You come. Y'all like me anyway, but don't worry about that. But you come because something is there that you enjoy the sermon. The sermons are funny, and you just get a good joy. But see, that is only the appetizer. That is just the seed. That's the teachings and how long the teachings are, how short the teachings are. That's all that is. It's the seed. But God says he wants that seed to do a little bit more than that. You have the seed. You have the ability to learn the mysteries, the deeper revelations of God, what he has, even where he's going to take you. And if you don't have that, God says a little bit that you have, it will be taken away. And I tell you the truth, I appreciate all that God allowed me to have now. I don't want nothing taken away. Because what he has given me now, anything that he is taking would take away from me, and I miss it greatly. The joy, the peace, the understanding. If he take any of those things away, man, I'd be lost. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of